KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, co-presenting Mayrig with Art of Elan on January 29th at The Loft. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, December 17th. The change is coming to the college area and Claremont. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A $1 million gift has been given to the San Diego Community College District. It looks to aid healthcare students at the four campuses in the district. The funds will cover or reimburse professional costs for students like testing, fingerprinting, background checks, and any required licensing certificates. The Community College District has more than 1,100 students across multiple healthcare programs. This includes the EMT program and the nursing assistant program, among others. Slurry seal street repair projects have begun in numerous locations across the county. Repairs and resurfacing will take place in Paradise and Skyline Hills, Otay Mesa, Encanto, and East San Diego. The seal slows down the wear and tear on streets and reduces the need for more expensive repairs. Slurry seal is applied in phases over multiple days or weeks. The latest street repair project is scheduled to be finished 2 months into the new year, weather permitting. A map of past, current, and future street repairs is available to residents to view at streets.sandiego.gov. Home prices across the state are down, while home sales are at the highest they've been in years. However, for us here in San Diego, there was a slight increase in prices and a decrease in overall home sales. The median price for a San Diego County home increased by 0.5%, landing us at a median price of $990,000. For context, that's 1.5% higher than it was 1 year ago. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 Corolla. With classic styling, available 10.5-inch touchscreen display, Toyota Safety Sense 3.0, and more. See your Toyota dealer for all Corolla options. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
San Diego's Claremont and College Area neighborhoods have new community plans after the City Council approved them in a meeting yesterday. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says they aim for more housing near public transit.
The new community plans maintain low-density zoning in most of Claremont and the college area, but shopping centers and major streets in the neighborhoods could see new mixed-use development with retail apartments and public plazas. Councilmember Sean Ila Rivera says the college area's old plan, adopted in 1989, failed to allow for adequate growth near SDSU, forcing students to live in crowded bedrooms and garages.
And the impacts it has on their lives and their neighbors' lives is real. And I think that we are going to be able to take a major step forward with the plan that's in front of us.
A state law passed this year called SB 79 could supersede the city's zoning and allow for even more housing near trolley stations. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
People who get their power from SDG&E can expect a rate hike come January. Reporter John Carroll says the San Diego City Council heard from residents upset about the increases at their Monday meeting.
SDG&E customers will see an average $3 hike come January and a $1 increase for natural gas on their monthly bill. The utility blames the increase on a variety of things like wildfire mitigation and modernization of the power grid. At the San Diego City Council meeting, SDG&E gave a required quarterly update. Afterward, the council heard from San Diegans opposed to the rate hikes. Gail Viamonte said SDG&E puts profit over the common good.
I'm a senior on a fixed income. I installed solar 3 years ago and have seen my good intentions and the almost equal amount of kilowatt hours of electricity I returned to the grid increasingly penalized in the interest of SDG&E profits.
SDG&E issued a statement saying they work to keep prices low for their customers. Utility rates are reviewed and approved by the California Public Utilities Commission. John Carroll, KPBS News.
The gradual demolition of the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station is nearly done. But North County reporter Alexander Wen says there is still a big job left to do.
For the past 5 years, crews have been taking apart the San Onofre nuclear plant, piece by piece. Now, all that remains are the iconic domes, which have been a San Diego landmark since the early 1980s.
You know where you are when you see these domes.
But their days are numbered too. Ron Pontes is the general manager for site closure at San Onofre. He says prep work for the demolition of the domes is already underway. However, there won't be a dramatic implosion. Instead, crews will use excavators to slowly tear them down. Pontes says that's safer than implosion because it reduces the risk of releasing nuclear radiation.
Early in this business of demolishing these plants, there was some use of explosives to bring down buildings, and that generates a lot of dust.
Pontes expects the domes to be fully demolished by the end of 2027. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
The hours-long closure of the I-5 earlier this month is raising questions from local leaders. Reporter Jacob Ayer says they're asking transit and law enforcement agencies about policies and procedures for freeway shutdowns.
There have been three major closures on Interstate 5 since October. They have snarled traffic for hours at a time. The most recent shutdown on December 5th prompted 8 elected officials to send a letter this week to the California Department of Transportation, California Highway Patrol, and the San Diego Police Department. They're asking about policies and procedures for freeway shutdowns. State Senator Catherine Blakespear represents coastal communities from Orange County to the city of San Diego. She says it's a public safety issue.
We heard directly from constituents who missed flights, people who missed their own critical medical appointments, people who could not pick up children who were waiting for their families.
KPBS reached out to the CHP, San Diego Police, and Caltrans, but they did not immediately respond to our questions. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
A new project is gathering stories of government persecution against LGBTQ+ San Diegans. Reporter Katie Heisen says it's preserving not just the past, but the present.
Probably one of my favorite bits of local history.
We've long disputed the Navy's ability to determine gayness.
The Dixon Six were six women that were in the Navy in the 70s, and there was a witch hunt to, quote, ferret out the lesbians that were serving.
Nicole Verdes clicks through photos inside the Lambda archives, where they serve as managing director. Protests against San Diego police raids of gay bars in the 70s. Others against the U.S. government's lack of response to the AIDS crisis. They're gathering local stories of LGBTQ+ persecution by the government. The photos will be shown at the end of each performance of Fellow Travelers at the San Diego Opera next year. It's a gay love story set against the mass firing of LGBT U.S. civil servants in the 50s. Kevin Newbery directs the opera.
One of the ironies of this time period is that it was all about keeping records on people and keeping files, but those files have never been released.
Newbery wants to create a record for future generations of not just the past, but the present. Denial of gender on passports, transgender people banned from the military.
I never thought that we would be including people that were getting fired today.
The submission form is available on kpbs.org. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
For many Latino, immigrant, and mixed-status families, the holidays are usually about gathering, tradition, and faith. But this year, health reporter Heidi DeMarco says heightened immigration enforcement is changing how and if families celebrate at all.
During the holidays, Latino communities are usually filled with music, dancing, and tradition. Christmas is a time for food, faith, and family. But this year, many immigrant families say the season feels different. Fear has replaced celebration. Gloria Sanchez is an undocumented immigrant from Sinaloa, Mexico. She's 49 years old and has lived in the U.S. for 25 years. Bonita la Navidad, aunque triste por todo lo que está pasando. She says Christmas is beautiful, but it's also sad because of everything that's happening. She rarely leaves her house. She's had close calls with immigration, and by the grace of God, she says, she's still here. And she's not alone. A recent KFF New York Times survey found that 63% of likely undocumented immigrants have avoided traveling this year, worried about drawing attention to their status. She says when she does leave, she doesn't know if she'll come back. Her husband is a gardener and is also undocumented. She says the thought of losing him is devastating. He's the one who supports the household. If they deport him, she says, their family will fall apart. She says the isolation weighs on her. She feels frustrated, stressed, and depressed. Some days, she doesn't want to go out or even eat. She says her dogs are what bring her joy, easing her stress, and keeping her company during long days inside. Still, she tries. She says she finally found the motivation to decorate her home. Faith remains central to her life, especially now. But even the simplest traditions feel risky this year. The Day of the Virgen de Guadalupe is one of the most important religious celebrations in Mexican culture. Traditionally, families gather for early morning mass, music, prayer, and gratitude. It's a risk she's willing to take. It's 4:30 in the morning when Sanchez arrives at the church. Inside, incense fills the air. Mariachis sing and praise. Aztec dancers' feet drum against the floor. And prayers ripple through the pews. Sanchez raises her hands and prays. Dale gracias a mi Dios. She says, thank you, God, and my Virgin, who has protected me.
It's really important for the people to come here because they feel like it's a little bit of part of their tradition, their pueblito.
Hung Nguyen is a priest at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish in Barrio Logan. He says Sanchez's fear is shared by many in his congregation.
We don't know whom to trust. I mean, people are fearful that their neighbors might turn them into immigration. And so the people are carrying a lot of burdens, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety.
He says attendance is down.
People are afraid to come for sure here in our parish. We've seen a decrease in mass attendance on Sundays.
He estimates the parish has lost about 300 members due to immigration raids. But for those who do make it inside, he says faith offers relief.
Forgot about immigration raids, forgot about all these things that they're struggling with, and people are just being joyful. People are celebrating their faith, their expressions, and the people are giving thanks to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Traditions beyond the church have also changed. In many Latino and Mexican immigrant families, tamales are made and shared during Christmas gatherings. Fernando Leon sells Oaxacan tamales in Barrio Logan. He says sales are down this year. People are afraid. Many are saving money in case something happens instead of ordering food for celebrations. Sanchez says she won't be cooking or celebrating the way she used to. There will be no shopping for gifts. Life and health, she says, are enough. Hope persists for Sanchez and many others. They're holding on to the life they built in a place they call home. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I thank you for that. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by PaintCare, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.